your Bibles. We're going to be looking at a couple of different references of Scripture this morning. We've been working through this series on our articles of faith. What is the foundation of our theology? What is it that the Church of the Nazarene believes and teaches? And we've been looking at that for the last several weeks. And there are 16 articles of faith. Today we're on article number 15. So we have today and next week, and we'll be finishing this series up. Today I want to share with you a message that I've entitled Coming Soon. Coming Soon. Today's message is about the second coming of Christ. Let me just say before we go any further, today's message and next week's message are both about what we would consider end time events. Today we're talking about the second coming. Next Sunday we're going to be talking about the judgment and final judgment and different things like that. So let me just tell you this: I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, an end time prophecy expert preacher, okay? It's just, I know there are people who are just, I've listened to men and women preach and talk about the end times, and I have just been blown away and amazed at the insight and the knowledge and revelation that they have. I just, and people are gifted in different ways, but I'm going to stick very closely to what our article of faith tells us and what we know from Scripture, because quite frankly, that's what really matters, okay? What really matters is what we know and what we can prove from here. There are so many different end time theories and philosophies about when Jesus is going to come back. Do we believe that Jesus is going to come back before we go through the tribulation, which is pre-trib? Do we believe he's coming back sometime during that, mid-tribulation, or after that? Are we going to have to go through the entire tribulation period that Scripture speaks about and describes? Here's the honest to goodness truth is, I don't know, and neither does anybody else. And quite frankly, this subject has been a hot topic lately in some of our pastors groups and theology groups that I'm kind of involved in some discussions in there, and just arguing back and forth. Well, that can't be right. I'm like, how do you know that can't be right? None of us know. So what we're going to do is we're going to stick very closely to what the article of faith teaches, because the article of faith is built and based on what we know from Scripture. So we're going to start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 13. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, so if it sounds a little different than what you have, that's why. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Now, I'm going to stop there. You can also see we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 24 and some verses there, so we'll get there in a minute. But before we do that, we want to look at what the article of faith teaches us about the second coming. Here's what it says. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will come again, that we who are alive at his coming shall not precede them that are asleep in Christ Jesus, but that if we are abiding in him, we shall be caught up with the risen saints to meet the Lord in the air, so that we shall ever be with the Lord. Now, I'm taking a break here between the two scripture passages because What we just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 follows very closely with the article of faith. It talks about the fact that we will not precede those who are asleep. Why did Paul need to write this? Paul needed to write this because the church in Thessalonica at the time was a very new church. They were young believers. And anytime someone, there were people who were a little confused about what was going to happen in the end. They were concerned that those who had died, even though they were Christians, would not be caught up. So Paul's teaching them about what's going to happen and how that's all going to play out. Those who have died in Christ, those who were believers in Jesus Christ who have died, are going to be resurrected and meet Jesus first. And then the rest of us, the existing church who is still alive, will be caught up to meet them together. Okay? He's trying to reassure them that just because someone died doesn't mean they're going to miss out on the second coming. So that's what he's getting at here. Now, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading with verse 30. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. There will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Father, this is your word, and I pray for your help with it right now. May we rightly divide it, and may it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I told you before, I'm not an expert in these things, and the safest thing to do is stick close to Scripture. So I'm going to share with you four things this morning that we know from Scripture is going to happen, or truth that we know about the second coming of Christ. And the first one is this: the second coming, it's a biblical certainty. The second coming is a biblical certainty. I have to ask you the question, do we believe the Bible? Because if we do, we have to believe that Jesus is coming back again. It's certain. In my simple Missouri vocabulary, it's going to happen. Okay? There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen. We just don't know when or exactly how. Well, how can we be so certain about this second coming of Jesus? Well, because the angels tell us about it. If you remember in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, we see Jesus and his disciples, and they're out on the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives is also known as the Mount of Ascension. This is Jesus' last meeting with his apostles before he ascends back into heaven. And he's out there talking with them, and he gives them some final instructions and some final encouragement. And then all of a sudden, they see Jesus begin to rise up into the air, ascending back into heaven. And these disciples are standing there, and they're just, and they're watching. And they just keep watching. And they just keep watching, and maybe there's a cloud that gets in the way, so they move so they can see better. They're watching until the very last split second when Jesus disappears from their sight. You ever done that? Have you ever had taking kids to college, or your kids leaving for college, or you've had a visit from a family member or close friend that you don't get to see very often? You know, we'll stand at the window and we'll just watch as they drive away until they're gone out of sight. That's what these disciples were doing. They didn't want to miss anything. They wanted to watch Jesus until they just absolutely couldn't see him anymore. And then all of a sudden, they're still looking up in the sky. And all of a sudden, they look and hear these two angels dressed in white. And the angels asked the disciples a question. They said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing here staring up into the heavens?" Jesus, this same Jesus who you just watched go into heaven, is going to come back in the same way that you saw him go. What are the angels telling them? You don't need to fret. You don't need to worry. You don't really need to be afraid. This is a temporary thing. It's not permanent. Jesus is coming back. But you know what? If we don't want to believe the angels, then we have Jesus' own words. Because Jesus tells us the same thing. In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, we find this discussion going on with Jesus and his disciples still in the upper room. This is after the kind of during that banquet, the Passover meal that they shared together. And he's trying to explain to them that he's going to go away for a while. But then he says this: "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me wherever I am." What's Jesus telling them? And here in this instance, I want to ask the question, what's Jesus telling us? He's talking with his disciples, that's true, but are we not his disciples? Has Jesus come back yet a second time? No, we're still waiting for that. So Jesus is telling us the same thing he's telling his disciples. Don't be worried about it. I'm going to prepare a place, and when everything is ready, when that place is prepared for you, then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be with me wherever I am. Don't fret. Don't fear. Don't worry. I'm leaving, but it's only temporary. I'm going to come back for you, and I'm going to take you to be with me for all eternity. What a promise. What a day to look forward to, right? We can be certain that Jesus is coming back because Jesus tells us he's coming back in his own word. Here's another thing we know about the second coming. It's going to be an unpredictable event. It's an unpredictable event. You know, we've all heard people make predictions, right, about when Jesus is coming back. I don't even remember what year it was. Years and years ago, there was the guy out in the Kansas City area that had this big following of people, and they were convinced that Jesus was coming back on this day at this time in this year, and they had sold everything they had, and they all got together and they met together, and guess what? It didn't happen. I remember my pastor when I was a kid growing up. He was the pastor of our church for a long time, and I just remember even him saying, he didn't make any real bold prediction. He just said, I'll be very surprised if we make it to the end of the year 1983. And that was the year it was. And he said, I'll be very surprised if Jesus doesn't come back before then. You know what? We've all been expecting it. We've heard all of our lives, right, that Jesus is coming again. Our parents have heard all their lives that Jesus is coming again. Our grandparents have heard all their lives that Jesus is coming back again. You know what? We talk about the last days, but you know what the last days actually are, according to Scripture, is from day one after Jesus left the earth. We've been living in what we know as the end times, or the prophesied end times, ever since Jesus went back to heaven and told us he was coming back again. Some people say, well, why should I believe it then? You know, I've heard this all my life and it's not happened yet. I mean, you can choose to take that route if you want to, but my take on it is this. The fact that I've heard about it, my parents and grandparents and every generation before that's heard about it, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It just means it's closer than it's ever been. Okay? We don't know. It's unpredictable because we don't know. The Bible tells us that very plainly. His followers don't know. See, the disciples tried to pin Jesus down about this question in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. They said, will you at that time restore your kingdom in Israel? What did Jesus tell them? It's not for you to know dates and times. Basically, he told them that's not any of your business. It's not really what you need to be worrying about. You need to be worrying about some other things. You need to be concerned about some other stuff, and we'll get to that in a little bit later. The angels don't know when it's going to happen. The Bible tells us Jesus himself doesn't know when it's going to happen. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, it says the Heavenly Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times. So we don't know when, but what we do know is this. When the Father determines that it's the right time, he's going to set in motion a series of events that will lead up to and end with the second coming of Christ. And it will be unmistakable. Listen to Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31 again. At last, the sign of the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. Deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a mighty blast of the trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world. God determines the schedule. God knows the schedule, and he's going to follow through with that schedule whether we're ready or not. Okay? Because once the Heavenly Father determines it's time to go bring the church back home, that's it. Nothing's going to stop him from doing it. The second coming is an undeniable reality. That's the third thing. It's an undeniable reality. Why do I need to say that? Because people have and still do try to deny a lot of different things about Jesus, right? People try to deny his virgin birth. Well, there's no way. How in the world could a virgin, a young virgin woman, have a baby? Well, because with man, things are impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. That's what the angel told her, right? So that's a good enough answer for me. They deny his virgin birth. They deny his sinless life. They've tried to deny his godness or his divine authority. They deny his crucifixion. They've tried to deny his resurrection. You see, to many people, the truth of who Jesus actually is amounts to nothing more than a fairy tale or a fable that they've heard all their lives. Jesus' first coming happened at a crazy busy time. There were few people who even noticed it, and even fewer than that recognized the significance of it. He was born in obscurity. He came in the form of humanity. He lived in poverty. He demonstrated humility. So it should come as no surprise that they would deny that he could ever be the Savior of the world. Why was it that so many people refused to believe in Jesus as the Messiah? Because he came in a human form. He walked around in the dusty, dirty roads and sandals with a bunch of ragtag followers that he picked out of the crowd, right? They expected a king. They expected the Messiah to be some kind of very highly visible, influential political or religious leader. And Jesus wasn't that. So they denied who he was. But see, the next time he comes, no one's going to be able to deny it. Why? Because he's not coming in obscurity this time. He's coming in power and authority. He's not coming in the form of humanity. He's coming in the form of majesty. He's not coming in a state of poverty. But he's coming again as royalty. See, there's going to be no mistaking. There's going to be no denying his identity. Because when the eastern sky opens and people see Jesus descending on the clouds from glory, everyone in the world's going to see it at the same time. And the Bible tells us every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's not one person in the entire created world that when this has happened is going to be able to deny what's going on. The atheist who says in their heart there is no God, their foolishness is going to be on full display. The uncertainty of that agnostic who doesn't know whether God exists or not will be wiped away. There's going to be no denying and no mistaking when Jesus comes again. Here's the last truth about the second coming I want to share with you today. It's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen suddenly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 tells us the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You ever had someone try to break in your home? Or, we woke up one morning when we lived in Champaign. Got up one morning, I walked out to the driveway, and you know what? I don't know why. I didn't lock my door that night. My car was sitting outside. And I walked out and I got in my car and it was just ransacked. Stuff everywhere. They'd gone through the glove compartment, they'd gone through consoles, and you know what? I started talking to my neighbors. You know what? It happened to every car on the block that had been parked outside and was unlocked. They didn't break into anything, but they went through every car that they could find that was unlocked, and they just went through stuff looking for money or anything valuable. Guess what? I didn't forget to lock my door again. Why? Because something like that happened. Jesus coming back, the Bible tells us, is going to occur like a thief in the night. Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. I want to read that to you again. When the Son of Man returns, it's going to be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time Noah entered his boat. Now listen to this next line. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. How can that be? What does the Bible tell us about Noah? That he was a righteous man, that he was a preacher of righteousness. The stories we've always heard growing up was the fact that even during the time when Noah was building that boat, he was trying to convince people why he was building the ark. But the Bible tells us they didn't know what was going to happen because they didn't believe. They refused to believe what Noah said. They thought he was some crazy old 600-year-old man building this great big boat when it had never rained. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. That's the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. I want to share with you some thoughts from William Barclay. Talking about these verses that I just read, here's what he says. These verses tell us that that time will come with a shattering suddenness on those who are immersed in material things. In the old story, Noah prepared himself in the calm weather for the flood which was to come. And when it came, he was ready, but the rest of humanity was lost in its eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And they were caught completely unaware, and they were therefore swept away. We're caught up so much in life, the everyday happenings of life, that we don't pay any attention to spiritual things. These verses are a warning never to become so immersed in time that we forget eternity, Barclay says. Never to let our concern with worldly affairs, however necessary, completely distract us from remembering that there is a God. that the issues of life and death are in his hands, and that whenever his call comes, at morning, at midday, or at evening, it must find us ready. That, my friends, that is the most important lesson that we need to remember about Jesus' second coming. We have to be ready. We have to live in a state of readiness, not live however we want and just think, well, I'll get right with God before it's too late. You don't know when too late is. If we don't know that we are ready for that day when Jesus comes back, don't delay. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. There's a story, a legend or fable, if you will, about three apprentice devils in training, who come to the earth to finish their training. And as a part of their training, there's this meeting. These three devils in training have a discussion with Satan. And Satan asks them how they're going to go about deceiving people and drawing them away from any and keeping them away from any kind of belief in Christ. The first devil said this, "I will tell them there is no God." Satan answered, "That will not delude many because they know there is a God." Oh, that one was shot down. The second devil said, "I will tell them there is no hell." Satan answered, "You will deceive no one that way. They know even now that there is a hell for sin." So after a moment, Satan looked at the third trainee, and here's what the third one said. "I will tell them there is no hurry." "I will tell them there is no hurry." Satan said, "Go. You will ruin them by the thousands." Barclay goes on to say that the most dangerous delusion of all time is that there is plenty of time. He says the most dangerous day of our lives is when we learn that there is such a word as tomorrow. There are things which must not be put off, for none of us knows if for us tomorrow will ever come. Now here's how I want to tell you. What you have heard today is the gospel truth. What we've heard today is the gospel truth. Jesus is coming back someday. The question is this: are you ready? Are you ready? If Jesus came back right now, if Jesus just dropped down through the ceiling and we found him standing right here, where would we be? Two will be working in the field, one will be taken, one left. Two will be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Are you ready? Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, the Apostle Paul tells us that today is the day of salvation. How can you write a sermon and preach it to us called Coming Soon when we don't know when Jesus is coming? Because look, you know what the last recorded words of Jesus in the Bible are? The last recorded words of Jesus in the scripture is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. Jesus says this, "Yes, I am coming soon. I am coming soon." If you're not ready, say, if you're not ready, we can't take the chance. Don't ignore God's grace. Don't ignore this opportunity. Don't assume that you're going to have it tomorrow or another opportunity to make things right with God. Listen, I don't believe in scare tactic preaching. I've listened to some of that in my day. I've heard some of it. But if we believe what Jesus says, and if we believe what the Bible says, we don't know. And we don't know how many more opportunities we're going to have to get ready. So I want to take just a moment. Maybe there's someone here. And we're going to sing a song in closing together as we get ready to leave. But I have to give you this opportunity. You just bow your heads, close your eyes. Maybe there's someone here who says, Pastor, I'm not ready. Maybe you want to come up to the front and pray. We'll do it right now. You can walk out of this building knowing that if Jesus came back any second, you'd be ready to meet him. So maybe there's someone here this morning who says, you know what, Pastor Francis, I want to know Jesus. I want to know I'm ready. But maybe there's someone who says, you know, I want you to pray for me. I know maybe I'm not ready. And I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Maybe there's someone here that just said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand so I can see? I just want to know how to pray, who to pray for. Thank you. And those who raise their hands, I want to give you an opportunity right now. Right where you're sitting. If you know you're not ready, I would ask you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe your word. I believe your son Jesus is the Savior of the world. I believe he died on a cross to forgive me of my sins. I believe he's coming again. And I want to be ready for that day. But in my heart, I know I'm not. Father, would you please forgive me of my sin? Would you make me your child? And would you give me the strength to live in a way that's pleasing to you? Please set me free from my sin so that I can spend eternity with you when Jesus comes back. I give you my heart and life. I'm yours. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for forgiving my sins. And thank you for making me ready for that day when Jesus comes back. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, sincerely, I'm not going to ask you to do it now. I would love for you to somehow get in touch with me, whether it's through Facebook, find me before we leave church, and just let me know so I know how to pray for you so I can celebrate with you, okay? We're going to sing this old chorus before we leave. So if you'd like to stand as we get ready to close, and soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Sing that a couple times through, and then we'll be dismissed. here today. God bless you. We're dismissed. Have a great week. Men, don't forget about Saturday morning, 8 o'clock.